Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
Think back to the last training session that you had, or the last game even. Think about your squad of players, 14 to 18, and then think about how much you connect with each of those players. And I recently held a coach call where I challenged the coaches to consider how they connect with every single one of their players. And we're all on the same sort of lines. And if I ask you the same question, you probably give me some answers. Like, you know, I try and pay attention to how they're doing. I ask them how their day was. I ask them about other sports and things like that. And then that's really about as far as we go. Some may say that they try to coach every player in a session or have a point of contact with every player in every session. But this episode is going to explore the four points of contact that I try and have with every single player in every single environment that I have. So the first one is pretty much what every coach, every leader will say, and that's the personal point of contact. Recognizing that the player or the athlete that's coming to you in your training session, in your environment, is also a person first. First and simple thing is, how was your day? You coach young individuals, how was school? We may be open-minded coaches, and the reason I say open-minded coaches is because some are not, or they criticize other sports, or they feel like they're in competition with other sports or other coaches. So maybe they don't ask the question, but how was basketball? I tend to ask players if they did PE on a certain day, or if they've done other things throughout the day that I need to be conscious of when I am now training them. For example, in our periodization, today may be a fitness day. It's a Wednesday. We don't have a game till Sunday. We can really go hard in this session. And I want to know from my players if, for example, like happened a few weeks ago, one of my players just ran 5 miles for cross country at school. So now I know that this player isn't really going to be able to give me maximum effort as I would like in the training session. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but it just means that I'm being conscious of what this player is going through. So really connecting with them on a personal level. Now, my challenge to you is, think about the last training session that you had. You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players show up early or on time, depending on the tardiness of your players and their families and where they're coming from and what's going on in their own lives. So it's really easy to connect with those first few players. You can almost fill time in conversation with them, whether it's group or individual. But then think that you start training at 5 or 5:30, and then 10 or 15 minutes later, you've got a full squad. So you've gone from 4 or 5 players to now having 16 players, for example. How are you now connecting with those 11 players on the same personal level that you connected with those players that were there early? Again, it's very easy to connect with those that are there because they're already there. How do you still give that personal connection with those other players? Maybe they're not always late. Maybe they were just late randomly. But now, the late player that comes in 20 minutes late because they hit traffic, it's very easy to ask them how they're doing before you kind of explain what's going on in the practice. But there's a middle group of people or players or athletes that we tend to miss. So how do you connect with them? The two middle points that I use are for in the flow of the practice or even in the game. The coaching side of things. How can I connect with a player and coach them on an improvement aspect of their performance, of their game, of the training session? And then how can I praise or encourage them on another one? So I'm looking at two solid points of contact, much like the personal connection with players and how it's very easy to connect with the players who are early or the latest player. The same thing can be said for if you ever film a coaching session and just note how many times you say players' names. It's very easy to say the name of a player who is very good and to coach them and to talk about them. It's also very easy to talk about or coach a player who's not having a very good time. They keep giving the ball away. It's also very easy to coach the players that you're trying to work with. So, for example, we're working on building out. there's a lot of constant reference from the goalkeeper to your defensive line at 3 or 4 or 5. And then perhaps as you build into the midfield, you're looking at connecting with central midfielders or even a target player further ahead. So it's very easy to have that connection for improvement and possibly praise and encouragement with that small group of players. But how do you then work on improving and praising the players who are not a part of that focus group? If you set your training up, it may be a game day where you are doing 3v3s and it's just about competition and intensity, that becomes a very easy thing to focus on each small group throughout the training session. That's a very conscious way of moving through the session as everybody's playing the same games and as they work through the session over an hour or 90 minutes, depending on what your session is, it's very easy to consciously pay attention to each small group and give them that attention. And I think it's really important that we have days like that where it's even more player focused. And if you ask me, I like to say that my sessions are very player focused, player oriented. Players tend to figure out their own problems and I create the problem for them based on games and based on our model. But even going even more simple away from a model, if your luxury is that you have 3 or 4 trainings in a week, you can use one of those days for things like game days. You can use World Cup and things like that where you can really then focus in on the individuals. But you only train twice a week and you feel like you've got a lot to cover. How do you work on improving and praising the players that are trying to play against what you're coaching? And one of the best things I've learned is from the orientation method, or part of the methodology for US soccer is the orientation phase, where we're observing and then we're making sure that we're challenging the problem. So we're trying to build out, against a team who high presses. So now my focus has to be on the high press first. I have to coach the blue team to high press against the red team who are trying to build out. If I do that well, now the red team is going to need my help to get better at building out. They're going to need to problem solve. So I can use my several points of connection with the players on the blue team first to ask them to challenge in a new way, ask them to improve the way they press, ask a player to improve in their positioning to make it really difficult for the player on the ball. I can praise them when they do that, or if they're already doing it, or if we have a standout player who is leading the press, they will receive that praise and that encouragement, whether that's in the group or whether that's as an individual. But I'm focusing on that small group of players first. And then as I move into coaching and helping the red team to break that press, now I have the opportunity to connect for improvement and for praise on the players on that side of the ball too. So really applying myself in terms of planning my session so that I am working through my game model and through my phase of the season, but then also accounting for how I'm going to connect with every single player for an improvement and for a praise moment. For a strong fourth point of connection with my players, I look at challenging them on their own level, at their own stage of practice or of their own development. And what I mean by this, and I don't think it's necessarily relevant to do this to every player, but you may find that you have a couple of players that are just stuck. Maybe they're stuck in terms of doing the same thing over and over again. They show very little creativity or bravery. Maybe they perform the same move or they get themselves in trouble the same way every time. And so then I go to the side with this player and I say, my goal for you in this training session, as we're trying to build out, as our left back, for example, we're attacking little target goals, I want you to try and score 3 build-out goals with one touch. And the reason I would say that is because I've observed in a game or I've coached this player enough now where I notice that they hold on to the ball too long. Or perhaps they play on the left side of the defense, the number 3 position, and they're left-footed. But every time they get the ball on their left foot, instead of looking down the line to break the pressure, they cut inside because they're comfortable with that move. Maybe the player is forcing them that way and it happens over and over again and they go into trouble. The same question could be said for a center back. Instead of playing the same pass every time, I'm going to challenge you to distribute the ball to every player on your team throughout this session. And the reason I would do that, again, is to encourage them to find a different look, is to encourage them to find a new way to connect with a player, is to encourage them to be brave. I'm not saying connect with every player so that we can score, or don't mess any passes up. And you'll hear that when players, if you ever ask players for their reflection on a session, and they'll say, I didn't do very well, I gave the ball away a lot. Well, actually, I want my sessions to be the hardest thing that they experience, so that in theory we go to a game and we're ready for it. Hopefully it's easier, and I don't think a game is ever easier. There's a reason a game is 100% on periodization, and you can only get to a 90% fitness day in periodization in a training session. So I don't think that a game is never necessarily ever going to be easier. They definitely get easier when you're winning 10-0 like England were against San Marino, but at the start of a game, it's 0-0 and it's equal. So there's a pressure there that we just don't have in training. So then my challenge to the player is, can you try and do that? So that in a water break throughout the session, I have that personal point of connection to say to them, how's it going? How do you think you're doing? Have you tried to hit players? Why not? Can you use this moment now to talk to that player about where you think they could be so that you can play that? Because I'm overall developing our model. I want our centre-backs to be able to play within three different options, but then we also need the players around them to be available in those three options. So my coaching will be about those three options for that player, but then the fourth is always going to be a creative element, and it's always going to be about challenging those players to express themselves, to go and have some fun with the ball, to go and try something different, to not just be scared to make a mistake and not get stuck. I talked a little while ago about Ollie Watkins when he was playing and the individual goals that he was set when he was playing in the lower leagues, and it was to go and win three headers in a game because he was stuck wide the entire time and waiting for a ball, waiting for something to happen. And this is something that I see a lot in youth soccer, where we play a 4-3-3, the wide left and the wide right, the 7 and the 11 get stuck. They get stuck and they wait, and the fullback from the opponent or the fullback from my team stands next to that wide player, and they're all just waiting for something to happen. And I think it's indicative of the development of the game and probably a poor lack of coaching education as to how to actually coach these players, how to help them get through these problems that they're facing. And we do a lot of that in our training sessions. And when we recognize these players that are beginning to get stuck and struggling with any element of creativity, that we can begin to set these private little goals with them. And then I have a little point of reference for them. I build it into their IDPs. And I say, how did you do in terms of center back connecting with the rest of the team, being unpredictable? How did you as a wide player lose your attacker or lose your tracking mark all the time? How did you help the attack? How did you not just rely on a ball over the top and run and run and run? So many little things that we can build into our session planning. We're looking at periodization. We're looking at building our teams ahead of time. We're looking at how we're going to connect with every player pre-session or in the early stages of a session, through to the improvement and the praise phase of the session, where I'm helping them on both sides of the ball in terms of being good, and then development, and then goal setting too. So 4 points of contact with every single player. You have 16 players. There's a lot of contact that we're looking at there. But in the flow of a session, you definitely already connect with your players a lot. If you do film a session, just listen to the names that you say and see if you say all 16 names or all 18 names. And I guarantee that you don't. And that's not a slight on you or of any other coach that does or does not do it. It's just a conscious thing. If a player leaves your session having had a personal connection, having had some improvement guidance throughout the session, and then been praised as well, because a lot of coaching is often overseen as just improve, 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 then we set them little goals if it's been relative for them. So we're looking at least 3, maybe 4 for certain players. Now a player leaves, they feel like they've been listened to. They feel like they've been seen. They feel like they've belonged. They feel understood. They feel empowered. And if we're looking at lifelong learners, people that are going to give back to the game, because we know the stats around players that are going to go to college, we know the stats for players that are going to make it to the professional leagues. And the reality is every player that we ever coach will never get to that level. And that's okay, because they're going to be people that become people like you and I that are giving back to the game in new ways and training new players and educating new coaches. And I think it's so important that we just put into our session plans how we have these points of contact, like we focus on where the balls are going to be, like we focus on the timings and the periodization and the small-sided games and the game model. Now let's factor in the players too.